Wisconsin.
The Devil's Advocates. Never personal, only politics.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines are open for your take, as always, at 844-967-2789. We are eagerly awaiting our friend Maggie Dawn, Milwaukee County Corporate Counsel, to join us. In the meantime, we'll take your calls. And got to throw this one out there as well, because Donald Trump doesn't have enough going on. According to The Hill, House Oversight Committee Democrats have launched an investigation into gifts former President Trump received while he was in office, claiming he failed to account for thousands of dollars worth of gifts he received from foreign officials. Real quick, Megan says she's waiting to be let in, just so you know. According to The Hill, according to the committee, the former president appears to have flouted laws that require turning over any gift deemed to be worth more than $415, a longstanding practice based on the Emoluments Clause of the Constitution, which places limits on what the president can receive from foreign governments. $415. I mean, why not make it even like $500? A little bit more. Public reporting indicates that Trump accepted multiple gifts from foreign sources, yet they do not appear on the Department of State's public list as required. These revelations raise concerns about the potential for undue influence over former President Trump by foreign governments, which may have put the national security and foreign policy interests of the United States at risk. Yeah, a $415 bottle of booze. That's what's really going to threaten the United States. The guy coordinated an attack on the Capitol, and you're worried about, I guess we'll take what we can get. But Maggie Dawn, Milwaukee County Corporate Counsel, joining me. Welcome, Maggie. How you doing, sister?
Good, Dawn. Good to see you, my friend.
Good to see you as well. I'm super excited. This week we finally get some hearings. So you may not have heard, but I'm going to be at the Roman Coin on Brady Street in Milwaukee on Thursday at 7 p.m. Terry promised he's going to put the radio, the audio on so we can see and hear. Of course, we'll be playing out here on Devil Radio as well if you're not near a TV. Make sure you come down and check it out. Maggie, I have so super, super, super high expectations. How are you feeling?
You know, prime time, good, right? That's a good first step. To try to make sure that the maximum number of people actually see this. What I'm concerned about is that even if you look at leaders of the Republican Party and their repudiation of what Donald Trump incited on January 6th and the days after that, the entire Republican Party, with like one or two exceptions, has completely softened, right? Like, you do not see even a condemnation of those that were breaking the law. It's now being recast as, oh, well, this was just political speech and a demonstration. I'll just tell anybody that makes that argument that everyone's follow-up question should be, so the next time a group of Black Panthers wants to get together in military gear and AR-15s, and commit crimes and enter the Capitol or a state capitol or any local government office building, that's just supposed to be called a demonstration and nothing should be done about, we did have something like that, except it wasn't nearly as violent. There wasn't nearly as much breaking of the law. It happened and is happening in Black Lives Matter protests, where there are literally only a small number of people who are engaging in illegal activity. And those folks are thugs and criminals and need to be locked up. My point here is that I don't expect anything from the spin machine. I do think there's a small group of Americans that probably haven't made their minds up. Most importantly, I think it's important for us to bear witness to these hearings and for the historical record to be developed as much as is humanly possible. We're going to see what has happened with the criminal charges for those that have been, who have flouted Congress's subpoena power, who have refused to show up. We'll see what happens there. But, you know, do I think this is going to be a difference maker in the fall elections? Probably not. And that's really sad. But I do think that there are going to be there's going to be a lot of new details that will emerge that will really start to make this much more plain. I have always refrained from alleging that there is a provable conspiracy to commit treason. One of the reasons that I've always refrained from saying that is the Christian nationalist movement, which is generically the confluence of gun rights, white power movements, and the evangelical right.
Yeah.
Those movements' boundaries have now become completely blurred. They've effectively merged into one movement, which I think we now need to start acknowledging is a Christian nationalist movement. It's a regressive movement that seeks to return women to kitchens and bedrooms only, and seeks to return power to white men only, right? That's what that is about. It's really important to get on the record part of what's going on there. But do I think we're going to be able to prove conspiracy? No, because part of each of those organizations' ethos has been decentralized, leaderless movements, if you will. And that has been an intentional political strategy precisely to avoid the sort of prosecutions that are so deeply warranted here, right? It makes it very hard to charge and prove and win a criminal conviction for a seditious or a treasonous conspiracy. They, in effect, create a bunch of lone wolf actors who bring together smaller groups. And then you've now had a president who is saying, yes, storm the Capitol now, now. Cue them. If there's someone that should be accused of the conspiracy and the act which is required to forward the conspiracy and move forward, it's Donald J. Trump. That's the guy that took these specific actions both on Twitter and on the stage that day. And you can lump in Don Jr. if you want for the cherry on top of the thus and such Sunday, right? But he's the guy that actually undertook the overt act, which is required under the law to prove a conspiracy to commit crimes. But so a lot there. I think it's important historically. I think it's important for Americans to bear witness, whether they agree or disagree. It's our civic duty to put a butt in a chair, preferably with a malty beverage from the Roman coin.
Preferably,
and watch these to bear witness. It's important to develop the historical record. Do I think it's likely to be a difference maker in the fall elections? No. I think that it's likely to spur new criminal charges? No, I don't.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. That's my pal, Maggie Dawn, Milwaukee County Corporate Counsel and friend of the Devil's Advocates. But you're wrong, Maggie. Let me tell you why. They're going after Trump. The whole reason is because of Trump. And Trump ordered the code red, right? Trump knows he ordered the code red. Trump wants to say he ordered the code red. And I guarantee you people heard him say he ordered the code red, right? Hang Mike Pence. I mean, he was apparently, maybe okay with that. What? Hanging Mike Pence? And so all of these things are just so very tiny and small, but, taken together, wanting the hanging of your vice president should not be in and of itself a small thing, but compared to what the gravity of everything else that was going on at that time. Seditious conspiracy, Maggie Dawn. First, it was the Oath Keepers. Now, this week, the Proud Boys. 6 months later, 5 months later, seditious conspiracy. And this isn't, this isn't a Florida, a Georgia DA. This isn't the state of New York. This is the Department of Justice. This is Merrick Garland Day. This is another grand jury. This is seditious conspiracy against the Proud Boys. Does that give you what does that say to you, Maggie Dawn, as far as the Department of Justice and their efforts, which we don't hear a whole lot about as they continue to move forward in their prosecutions?
Exactly as anticipated and foretold when I've been on your show before, and I think a former U.S. Attorney Jim Santelis said the same. They start small. This is how federal prosecutions work. They work their way up to the top. I think these guys are likely to be the highest level prosecutions that you see for the very reason that I've noted. So what you had here was precisely what I'm describing, where you had the Proud Boys and these other sort of fringe, quasi-militaristic, Christian nationalistic groups. not coordinating from group to group, but within their little pods, cabals, you know, mutual mind erasing.
But I would, if I may just interject quickly, Maggie, my apologies. My understanding is one of the first witnesses will be a movie documentary producer who saw and witnessed the Proud Boys and the Oath Keepers together in some parking lot. So that would seem to indicate some sort of coordination, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and that's what we need to explore further. So it doesn't surprise me that you saw these charges coming in the order that it did. We will be seeing, can they actually make factual allegations supported by direct documentary, i.e. text messages, other electronic communications, and or other eyewitness testimony that effectively proves that they were coordinating across these groups. The biggest question becomes, how do each of those groups and Donald Trump connect, right? That's the million-dollar question.
Roger Stone. Pardon me, I'm sorry.
Exactly. I think there's a lot of facts that you hope the January 6th committee gets into. There's a lot of facts that you hope the Oath Keepers and Proud Boys and these other groups are forced to litigate in a criminal trial. I will just say this, what folks should keep in mind is that evidentiary standards when it comes to criminal trials are as strict as they can possibly be. Meaning, if you look at the evidence that can be admitted in a civil trial, it's a greater volume of evidence and type of evidence. The relevancy rules are a little bit more lax. So it'll be interesting to see exactly what the evidence is as these different individuals are ultimately brought to trial, because you know some of them just won't plead out.
Steve Bannon is never going to plead out, right? I mean, that's never going to happen. I guess in that regard, with the 4 minutes or three, four minutes we got left in this segment, Maggie Dawn, Navarro prosecuted. Apparently, he's going to show up in court on the 17th at 10 a.m. Eastern for contempt of Congress. But Scavino and Meadows, not prosecuted by the Department of Justice. Barb McQuaid, a former U.S. attorney, was opining on her Twitter stream a couple of reasons why that may have been. Perhaps cooperation, a couple other issues. Perhaps maybe because they actually were in the White House, unlike Bannon. They actually have a legitimate claim of privacy to conversation with the president.
Executive privilege.
Executive privilege, thank you. I think perhaps they're part of a larger conspiracy, that they're going to come after them as part of this criminal probe, because you can't complicate the big crime when you're going after them for little crimes. What's your take on the lack of DOJ going after them right now, Maggie?
If it's not cooperation, it had darn well be that they're all going to be charged in a larger conspiracy, that there's just a bigger fish to fry. That being said, which would also indicate that the DOJ may charge that as a whole litany of crimes, right? That they wouldn't go ahead and file one separate standalone sort of lesser included offense if they're going to charge a much broader crime. I wouldn't think that the DOJ today would not file criminal charges because they presume executive privilege applies. Their theoreticians are discussing now, effectively, does executive privilege go poof and turn into nothingness once you're out of your official role, i.e. right now? So lots of questions there. They may be just waiting. I think that's probably the smartest bet, that there's a wait and see approach here. Let's see what happens with the Oath Keepers and Proud Boys, and let's keep it moving, as well as what happens in the January 6th hearings. These people will be under oath. Much to see, right?
Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. That is Maggie Dawn. And you can join us at 844-967-2789. We have one more segment left. We're getting ready to prep. We're pre-partying for the J6 committee hearing this Thursday. It's going to be a party. God, we need it. Come back with us. One final segment of the happy hour. The Devil's Advocates, 866-94-PARTY.
This is a conspiracy. That's what this is. One big damn conspiracy!
and everyone's in on it.
I'm proud to tell you that was actually my sick idea.
Charged, never convicted. The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the last segment of the day. So if you got something to say, you can hit us up toll-free, talk or text at 844-967-2789. My partner in crime right now, Maggie Dawn, corporate counsel, Milwaukee County, friend of the Devil's Advocates. She'll join us back in just one moment. But I also want to throw out there, let's just also remember, we talked about it briefly yesterday, Jimmy Raskin, he's on the January 6th panel, smart dude, super cool cat, was lamenting that they have a whole lot more evidence, a whole lot more than incitement here. And we're going to be laying out the evidence about all of the actors who were pivotal to what took place on January 6th. I think it is imperative that they do so efficiently and accurately and with some gusto. You got to keep everybody's attention. But I do believe that they're going to go. I mean, Trump's a big fish, right? He ordered the code red. He was dialed into everybody along the ways, even with the encrypted apps. You know, there's only so many minutes in a day. And I fully believe that this committee and the investigators have gone through all the data, all as much as they can possibly get through in what, over a year, almost a year and a half since this happened. And we will see that evidence on Thursday. I want to be at the coin. Come down and join me once again, 844-967-2789. I believe we have Crudy. What's up, man? Welcome to the Devil's Advocates. How you doing?
Hey, man, I thought you were filibustering there for a minute. I want a piece of Maggie Dawn.
I want to speak to Maggie Dawn, too, but I see I'm just staring at a screen right now, so you're going to have to talk to me, man.
Oh, okay. Well, the question I would have for our mutual friend Maggie Dawn, what about the false Trump electors, right? You know, yes. What about the false Trump electors? Now, I understand she thinks the greater seditious conspiracy might be hard to prove. But what about the provable conspiracy to put false electors, fraudulent electors out there? If Dana Nessel in the state of Michigan, if she brings state charges, and here in the state of Wisconsin, the only ones to ever consider are, you know, is it against campaign finance laws, the Wisconsin Elections Commission? Well, come on, man, I'm going to be heartbroken.
Oh, don't be heartbroken, Crudy. Take pride, man. Understand that this will happen, right? They're going to go after all of it, man. I mean, the false electors, the DOJ specifically has a impaneled.
The federal DOJ.
Yes, the federal DOJ. Yes, the federal DOJ. Merrick Garland's DOJ, the U.S. DOJ.
If it doesn't happen, it's Merrick and Dominic breaking my heart.
Come on, man. But they're already looking into it, right? I mean, they have impaneled a grand jury for that specific purpose. So that is part of the equation. Now, that stuff isn't part necessarily. I'm sure that the panel, the J6 committee, will address the fraudulent electors. I have every confidence that they will do that.
I need dates and time out of you, Salvia. I mean,
they'll do it. Yeah, I get you, man. J6 will address.
More specific?
All right, I'm gonna have to cut you off, sir. You're kind of over talking the host here. J6 will address the fraudulent electors. But we got Maggie Dawn back. Maggie, I don't know if you heard. Crudy, I'll let you say it. You're lamenting the fraudulent electors.
Yeah, what about the fraudulent electors? That, if nothing else, we need to get to the bottom of that, right, Maggie Dawn? How you doing, sister?
I'm good, brother. I totally agree. We are fully through the looking glass. We've got a former Supreme Court justice here locally that thinks he should now head the Elections Commission, a Republican head of the nonpartisan, or I should say equally balanced partisan election commission, resigns in a huff because Ron Johnson is calling him. I mean, so one of the things that I just want to emphasize here that's going to sound really pedantic and boring, but it is the whole point. Whether you're talking about a government or a corporation or you know, a nonprofit board. Those organizations succeed or fail primarily based upon how well their governance rules are observed by those that are involved in the organization. And what does governance mean? I mean, what's someone's role and responsibility? And do they stay within that role and responsibility? Do they take it seriously? Do they fulfill their duties and obligations? What you're seeing are actors completely out of their lanes and effectively chaos. The whole prospect of this alternate slate of electors, one could argue, is itself treasonous. And oh, by the way, these are folks that are longtime party delegates, people that want to become officials within our electoral system, as if that's somehow a good qualification for that, including one of the current Wisconsin election commissioners. It is complete insanity. When you are an election commissioner, your role and responsibility is to reasonably interpret our election laws to provide guidance that is consistent statewide to ensure the fair and nonpartisan administration of our election system. And one of those people who has that job was one of Wisconsin's fake electors. Sounds criminal to me. I agree with you, Mike.
Well, hardly boring, Maggie Dawn, but I'm going to put you down also for a little dose of filibuster. Have a great one. Thanks for joining.
All right. Thanks, Crudy. Be safe out there, young man. So we do know, and correct me if I'm wrong, Maggie Dawn, that the Garland, there's a DOJ has a grand jury looking into the false elector situation, right? So my question is, especially after, you know, hearing Dana Nessel from Michigan, apparently considering some investigation of her own, here in Wisconsin, Josh Call, do you think he should be getting on this, if he hasn't yet, some sort of state investigation? I know the WEC said nothing to see here, but I'm not clear that they would, but they were looking at the same thing that Call would be looking at.
They're not an investigatory agency. It's not the role of the WEC. That is so clearly Josh Call's job, but despite that he may have a small D after his name, I'm not sure Josh Call really knows what his job is, because it took him, gee whiz, how long to come up with a database of the sex assault kits that haven't been processed? I'm just saying. So I don't know who's giving Josh advice about what to investigate and what not to.
If you were giving Josh advice, Maggie, what would it be?
That's an excellent question. Hey, Josh, why don't you investigate these false electors? That might be a good place to look. Let's investigate whom they were talking to that are current sitting elected officials. Ask for those text messages, maybe. You know, get those open records requests out there so that they can't go about destroying the records. Which, by the way, for everyone that's listening, yeah, open records laws in Wisconsin, real interesting beast. Because the Republicans under Scott Walker slightly rewrote the rules.
Yeah, slightly.
They don't really apply to them. Gotta love that.
Maggie Dawn, our friend, Maukee County Corporate Counsel, and a badass. We appreciate you coming around and talking some trash with us, Maggie Dawn. Hope to see you on Thursday at the Coin. First one's on me. Also want to thank Pat Kreitlow, UpNorthNewsWI.com, for stepping in for Crudy while he was out on the road. I want to thank all of our fair audience. Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Evan. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Come back tomorrow. It is hump day, and it will be J6 Eve. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.
Don't mess with the devil, buddy. We're number one. We beat anybody.